Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, always a lot to say, with no shame. Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Hope all is well out there with everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Hope everyone's doing well during this time. Tough day for me. A lot to get to in the world of sports. My boy Rich, Hot Takes Letty's coming through on the FaceTime to join me. Appreciate him coming on. A lot to get into world of sports today. A lot to get to in regards to some of my personal stuff. Gonna have to do it, even though it's gonna be hard, and I'm gonna have to do the Sabi stuff before Rich gets here. He'll be here soon. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct, time to reflect. And before I get into any of that, we really appreciate anybody who does listen or follow. You can always follow what's going on with the podcast at my Instagram page at Seggy Station, or you can always follow and listen to the stream on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Where you can follow along and listen to the pod there as well. The reason why I have to plug that is it's been tough for me the past couple weeks with all the news, everything going on in my personal life. My neighbor, who has literally got me a setup to do my pod, has supported me the entire way. A person who is 50 years older than me, who I would consider one of my best friends, supported me, taught me so many things, and took care of me throughout this challenging time in my life over the past 2 years of my life. And he's not doing well, to a point where it's not going to be much longer. I had to go say goodbye to him today. I've been trying to see him as much as I can. He means so much to not only me, but my dog. And it's just a very hard time for the neighborhood in my area right now with things going on. And I just have to thank him for everything he's done for me to get me to this point where I am now. I don't know where I'd be without him. I don't know where I'd be with this podcast without him. The love and support he's shown me, not only getting it to where it is, but helping me get a setup and helping me get certain things during this tough time in the world of furlough and COVID. And I can't thank him enough for just being one of my best friends, supporting everything that I've done and wanted to do, and teaching me a lot along the way. So I'm going to miss him more than anything. I know my dog is too, and I love my neighbor Dave so very much. I'm just happy that he's not in pain anymore. I'm looking forward to getting into a lot of the sports conversation with Rich. There's obviously a lot to get to in the NBA. There's plenty to get to in the NFL with a wrath of injuries hitting across the NFL in week two. Week three will be upon us just tomorrow night, Thursday night football, kicking it off. Dolphins, Jaguars, as everyone would be like, oh, that's not really a good game. But the Dolphins have obviously improved, even though they're still starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Gardner Minshew has proven that he's no joke. Even though the roster around him hasn't been proven to be a winning roster, he's out there almost winning football game up against the Tennessee Titans this past week and winning his week one game up against a Indianapolis Colts team that I thought was going to be a perennial 2-0 team as well, knowing that a lot of the 2-0 teams that start off 2-0, even with the expanded NFL format, have a great shot to make the playoffs. Colts did pick up a huge victory this weekend up against the Vikings. Vikings, a surprise 0-2 team for me. But in the end, Kirk Cousins not playing well at all, really struggling this past week. And there's going to be a lot to get to in the NFL. But Rich isn't here, so we're going to have to get into the stuff with the NBA before we get into the NFL at all. Rich, what's good, bro?
Yo, what's going on? How you doing?
Glad you can make it, man. Much love for you coming on. A lot to get to in the NBA, across the NFL as well. The MLB playoffs are going to be starting up in a few days, so there's a lot to get to in the world of sports, and I'm glad you can join me for the conversation today. Might as well always, like we do, start in the NBA because you're my NBA phenom, and quite frankly, lately, you're the only one who's joining me for the sports conversation, so much love to you, and we'll start with the NBA. Obviously, the game last night, Lakers lose the game, and the series is now 2-1 Lakers after the Mamba shot by Anthony Davis, your boy Anthony Davis, in game two, which was just an unbelievable shot. I mean, I know the defense was a little bit shoddy, but the shot itself was unbelievable. I don't picture Anthony Davis hitting shots like that, and the fact that he did hit a shot like that and then say Kobe afterwards is absolutely unreal to me. So shout out to Anthony Davis for actually hitting that shot, priming himself for a guy that's never been able to really do anything in the playoffs or perform in the playoffs, and that's always kind of been his knock. That's a big-time shot, dude. And even though the Denver Nuggets win a game last night, I had the Lakers in five, and I think the Lakers can still win this series in five. I think Jokic and Jamal Murray are incredible. I think Jeremy Grant having 26 points last night, and Monte Morris on fire and some of these other guys off the bench that we don't even really know about, because Gary Harris has been struggling like a motherfucker, and Will Barton, he's not even there. So realistically, it's Jokic and Murray and a bunch of these other guys just hoping they can kind of piece something together. They win a game. I expected them to win a game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win another one, but I also then wouldn't be surprised if my prediction of Lakers in five is right. I predicted that the Lakers would lose a game, and they did last night. I wasn't surprised them kind of not having as much energy, even though Dwight Howard brought the energy. Most of the team didn't really have the energy, and just in the second half, they looked a little flat, and they lose the game. But I don't expect the Lakers to come out and look like that next game after what they did in game three, knowing what they know about the Denver Nuggets coming back from some of these series early on in the playoffs. With only four teams left, dude, it's crunch time. And I think with everything that rides on this season for not only LeBron, but the Lakers squad with the loss of Kobe and everything going on, I don't think there's any way they lose this series. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had Nuggets in six. I'd probably stick with that still right now. It is crazy, though, because in the Rockets
Nuggets
series,
in six? You mean Lakers
sorry,
in six.
Sorry, Lakers in six, yeah. Nuggets winning two games. Yeah, but it is crazy because even in the Rockets series, we thought the Lakers were – or I thought the Lakers were about to go down 0-2. They lost the first game. They had Rockets had an incredible second game and just fell apart in the last few minutes of it. And honestly, right now, it's easy to say the Lakers could be up – or excuse me, the Nuggets could be up 2-1. They easily could have won game two in a really close game. So I still had faith in the Nuggets to keep every game competitive. They're not giving up. I'm sure they'll get steamrolled in maybe one game, but I think for the most part, they're going to be pretty competitive in this series, and I wouldn't even be surprised to see it go to seven. I saw something online that's like, wow, no-win scenario for the Lakers next game. If you come out and beat the Nuggets, then the Nuggets are down 3-1 again, which which is where they've come back every time. And if you come out and lose, then the series is tied 2-2. So something like joking, being like the Lakers are fucked either way.
It is true, though. I did see – I'll let you finish, but I did see Mike Malone say, like, as a funny, like, quote to the media, like, how he petitioned the league to start out 3-1 in the series, which is, like, kind of hilarious because, like, if it does get to 3-1, well, everyone's going to be like, oh, shit, here we go.
Yeah,
it is kind of lose-lose.
Yeah, I think Lakers would come out in the game six in that scenario looking to just game five in that scenario, just looking to kill them and not let them come back from another 3-1. But we'll see. Like you said, they looked dead last night. Last night, just like a few things. I looked it up right before this because I noticed watching it, but the Nuggets out-rebounded the Lakers 44-25, which is insane because the Lakers are playing pretty big, bigger than most teams. So the Lakers aren't going to win games where they get out-rebounded by almost 20 rebounds. And they also – Lakers only shot 23% from three, 6-26. So overall, pretty bad game for the Lakers. I don't think they're going to have another game that bad, but I still think the Nuggets could win another one or two.
Yep, I wouldn't be surprised, but I also think my prediction of Lakers in five could be true, even though – they looked pretty bad last night, and this, particularly in the second half, just kind of stalling out and not really having as much firepower as the Nuggets that clearly kind of needed to win that game. I mean, you go down 3-0 as much as they've been coming back 3-1. I mean, the chances of you winning a series down 3-0 is literally slim to none. It's never been done before in NBA history. So it was a big-time win for the Nuggets. I mean, gut check time for the Nuggets, and they get the win. Obviously, we'll see how the rest of that series plays out. This game, it was weird because they had like a delay, and then you think the Celtics and Heat game would have been first because they were the ones that weren't, but no, they got a little extra more time off. Like this game was on last night when, in my opinion, it would have been the Heat Celtics game. They played whatever. Everything's messed up with that, in my opinion, but the extra day of rest for that series, that's going to be tonight. The Heat, the Celtics, game four, Heat have a 2-1 series lead, 8:30, I believe, on ESPN. Should be pretty fire. That series has been pretty good. And I'd say with the addition of Gordon Hayward, which we kind of talked about a little bit on the pod, he looked really good for not playing 5 weeks.
Yeah,
and I thought that addition alone sparked the team to win that game three. And I still got the Heat winning the series. But I am definitely worried about the addition of Gordon Hayward, because if they do go and win this game tonight and the series is tied 2-2, we're kind of right back where we started with this series initially, which was it's going to be a deep, tough series, game seven type of series. And that's something, obviously, you're not really looking forward to if you're a Heat fan and you were up 2-0 in the series. So I think this is a huge game for the Heat. I think the Heat definitely needed to come out and play a little better tonight. I think even in a game three where they lose, they still had chances to win the game. And Celtics, like I said, played a lot better with the addition of Gordon Hayward, who had been out for 5 weeks. And with these guys still balling, Marcus Smart and a couple of the other guys, obviously Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker, the Celtics do have a lot of firepower. And I got to see your boy T.Y. yesterday, bro. Boosh and T.Y. came by the golf course to golf. I hadn't seen T.Y. I don't even know the last time I seen T.Y. Literally probably at, like, Central. Like, literally. And, damn, it was good to see him. But he was like, yo, I played a few holes with them, too. It was pretty fire. They got really good swings, considering. I was like, wow, T.Y. can actually hit it. Anyways, getting back on the topic here. He's like, oh, yo, who do you think's going to, you know, win if the Lakers – or who do you think gives more problems to the Lakers if the Lakers win their series? And honestly, I think – he made a good point, like, where it's like both. It really doesn't matter. I think both of the teams in the East are kind of slept on, and it's definitely going to be a good series. It's going to be must-watch TV in the NBA tonight on ESPN.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this series. This is going to be a good one. This is one I was more excited about the whole time. I think we know what to expect. Not to say the Celtics can't come back from a 3-1, even though the Nuggets have. Clearly teams can. I think most people would agree if he go up 3-1, series is over. If it goes 2-2 tonight, this could really go either way, because at that point the Celtics have won the last two games. So I'm excited. I think this is probably going to be the biggest game of the series tonight, looking back on things, unless of course it goes to a game 7, but this will really decide where the series is going to go.
Seriously. And I think
something crazy as well. I don't know if you saw this. Duke just sent it to us while we were on here.
What was that? I was trying to look at that.
You know how Tyrod Taylor missed the game on Sunday and was a scratch right before the game? I guess he sent us something saying the Chargers team – this is from Adam Schefter. The Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's lung, just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs. So he – apparently he already had cracked ribs, so I'd assume he wasn't going to play, but he then punctured his lung.
What? Jeez. That's a little weird and wild, and hopefully he's okay. I mean, Justin Herbert looked pretty fire, and I think he's one of the guys that I thought would look pretty fire. And I thought he looked pretty good for coming in 10 seconds into knowing you're about to start the game, so... I like him a little bit more than Joe Burrow on my earlier predictions, even though Joe Burrow has been looking fire. And he's basically the only one of these guys that's been starting, that's been drafted this year. But I think it'll be, once these guys start getting play time, we'll start to see that some of these guys might look a little better than Joe Burrow. Anyways, I don't want to talk about the NFL just yet. I do want to finish up some of the NBA discussions. It's been flying through the bell, so I guess I'll just reset it. It hasn't had to go off yet, so I guess the organization is a lot better than I thought. Thought it'd be pretty shitty, to be honest, with everything going on. Pretty tough. Pretty tough for me, man. I had to go see my neighbor, and he's pretty much... It's pretty much donezo. It's so sad. And I'm just glad that we can at least talk a little bit about sports, just of how shitty I've been feeling today. So with that in mind, I did want to talk about the Paul George comments, and I did want to talk about Billy Donovan being named the head coach of the Bulls in the NBA before we get out of that. Paul George comments I thought were pretty interesting. I'm not sure exactly how it was laid out. I did have a post
comments are these?
It's the ones where he had like a post-game speech with his team
in which his team
was a little bit a little bit bewildered by his comments. And also, I would say that his comments after his play this postseason are a little bit bewildering to me. I just have to get your take on the fact that if you're Kawhi Leonard and you bring in Paul George and you have this plan, if you're the Clippers, to be competing in at least a Western Conference Finals, which would have been your first time in franchise history, and you can't even do that, how much is Paul George saying, keep the faith, keep the squad, you know, build up for another championship run with how he played in this postseason? And I get it with everything going on in terms of the bubble, in terms of no fans, in terms of all the characteristics surrounding the NBA season returning. I also feel like that's not really an excuse for a team like the Clippers that we all thought was going to at least be in the Western Conference Finals. When you have other teams that we thought were slated to get in there. Lakers, I would say Heat, they were on my list. Celtics and the Nuggets, which I think were, if you leave the Clippers out of it, maybe considered the fifth best team out of the four remaining, if there were four remaining. So even with the Bucks and all that, whatever, that's a different conversation. Moral of the story is, are the Clippers going to maintain everything? Doc Rivers, the entire, you know, Trez Harrell, free agent. There's talks of him getting a deal done, but also talks of him being wanted in free agency, obviously. Lou Will, he's obviously up in age. Some of these other guys, and obviously Paul George. I think there's a lot of question marks surrounding the team, even though they're all just saying, yo, let's just run it back next year, we'll be fine. I think that was a little bit profound, in my opinion, to come out of Paul George's mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think they have to run it back next year. Not exactly the same, like small changes. Like they definitely need a ball handler besides Patrick Beverley. I mean, he's not even really a ball handler. He just happens to be a point guard, but he's more of a defender. I don't know if they'd necessarily get rid of him, but they need someone else to bring in. I don't know what they can afford. I think this is more than they could afford, but like a Mike Conley kind of guy, if maybe the Jazz, if they can find a trade with the Jazz or something. Obviously, Chris Paul is the ideal fit anywhere. But I think they need another point guard, another ball handler, another guy to make the team go. Kawhi just looks a step slow sometimes, probably because of his injury history, and Paul George has been inconsistent, and Lou Williams shot 8%. So you need someone else who could hold the ball that you could rely on there. I'd be shocked if they fired Doc. I don't know how much Steve Ballmer is a basketball mind, but I know he's just the owner. I forget who the GM is right now, but Doc was initially the GM, and then he got the GM duties removed from him. And Steve Ballmer and Doc are real close. I doubt they get rid of Doc. I think it's going to be a run it back next year thing. It's also weird to me that those comments, even assuming those comments are real, that they even came out. Like, that's the problem with the Clippers. Like, why is the meat? Why does any of us even know that, what Paul George said in the locker room after? Like, why are you telling people that? Just like, even if it sucked, just like, don't say anything. Just let it suck and keep it between you.
That's a solid point, but it's kind of what we've seen in that last series with the Denver Nuggets, with this team, the Clippers team, kind of everything kind of boiling over at the wrong time. And that's where it winds up getting you bounced from the playoffs. I just thought the comments were something we had to touch on. I think it'll be interesting to see this offseason and how it goes for the Clippers. If they can maintain Trez Harrell, if they can maintain some of this roster that they have and run it back again with their head coach and everything in place with, what, the same expectations, but them not being able – I don't know. It's weird for me to see some of these teams in the NBA that kind of get to the playoffs and then shrivel under pressure. And unfortunately, Paul George tends to be on one of those teams. He was like that with the Pacers, Thunder, and for now the Clippers. And I think it's been a tough scene for Paul George.
He was getting to the Eastern Conference Finals versus LeBron. But after the injury, Thunder and Clippers years haven't been great so far.
All right. Well, I did want to just touch on one last thing in the NBA before we get into some of the stuff that happened in the NFL, which is just about as tragic as everything that's going on right now. Anyways. Billy Donovan named the head coach of the Bulls. I thought this was interesting. Not only did I think we didn't talk about it as much, like just because everything obviously is cranking up with sports. I mean, it's like hard to cover stories. And like I told you, yesterday's news is old news. Billy Donovan just like randomly mutually parting ways with the Thunder, which I thought was pretty shocking for a Thunder squad that obviously shocked the entire NBA community this season with what they did the entire season and in the bubble. And I would say them getting the Billy Donovan and the Chicago Bulls, I think, is a decent hire. I'm a little questioning of Billy Donovan saying he doesn't want to do a rebuild with the Thunder, but then basically going to a Bulls squad, which, in my opinion, has been under a rebuild for, what, 2 decades since Michael Jordan's been gone? So I think he could do some things there to get the franchise in a better position in terms of where they've been at, but I also then don't really know how long he tends to be there if that's not the case. I mean, if he goes there and they're not doing well in terms of over the next 2-3 years, I mean, how long is he expected to be the head coach of the Bulls? So I think he's taking a big chance with, obviously, they're going to have to perform a little better for him to keep a job there. It's kind of, we've seen that with the Chicago Bulls as a trend over the last
what, 4 or 5 seasons? I mean, how many coaches have they gone through and GMs and everything that they've gone through? I think they've been one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NBA. And I just also would say this, where not that I don't think Billy Donovan's a great head coach. I think he should be an NBA head coach, no doubt about it. But I also would then bring up, there's a lot of other head coaching vacancies right now in the NBA. We really haven't talked about it on the podcast. And I think some of these guys that are going to be in talks of getting a job, D'Antoni, guys that got fired, I think you should maybe be looking, if your teams, at some of these guys that haven't been in the league. As much as these guys are proven, there's also guys that aren't in the league that are proven as well. Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, a lot of guys that are assistant head coaches and not head coaches, and Sam Cassell, Tyronn Lue, you know, Steve Nash. We didn't really talk about as much of that hire, but I thought that was an interesting splash hire. Something, as much as the, you know, Stephen A is bitching about him being a white guy, never having a head coaching job and then getting an NBA job, which I honestly think is a valid point. But at the same time, I think it's better than one of these guys like D'Antoni, something like that, just getting a rerun somewhere else when some of these other guys are looking for an opportunity. So I just ask you what you think of the Billy Donovan hire, and maybe then ask you about some of these other vacancies in the NBA before we get out of here on the NBA for today.
I think it's unique to each situation. So, like, for example, like a D'Antoni, I could see him getting hired, but it would have been a weird hire by the Bulls or some, like, underachieving team. Like I said in our chat, like, D'Antoni, I like getting hired by, like, the Pacers, like a team that has a lot of their pieces and can't currently get to the next step. So it's like, hey, let's try this guy's high-powered offense, see if that, like, I think it makes sense in certain scenarios. So, like, I like the Billy Donovan hire for the Bulls a lot, actually. I think Kenny Atkinson would probably be the best hire for any team. But Billy Donovan probably would have been second for me. I wouldn't have hired Billy Donovan to be like the Nets coach if Steve Nash wasn't there, because he didn't prove that he could do anything. Granted, Kyrie and KD aren't Russ and Paul George, but he didn't prove that he could take a team with superstars to the next level. But he did prove.
No. It's ridiculous. And technical difficulties. No surprise how everything's going for me. Continue. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll sum it up real quick. Overall, I like the hire. Billy Donovan proved not that he could coach stars, because he didn't do well with Russ and Paul George, but he proved that he could develop young guys. Like, Lu Dort's came a long way. Shai's came a long way. Dennis Schroeder's had a way better last 2 years than he had in Atlanta. Baisley, a bunch of other young guys. Like, he's done well developing the young guys there. So I like that. If I'm the Bulls, who have Kobe White, Markkanen, all these young guys, Wendell Carter, and are looking to go to the next step. A lot of people had the Bulls as a playoff team this year, and that's their goal. So hopefully he could get them there. And I'll just say, Boylan was easily the worst coach in the NBA. So no matter what you think of Billy Donovan, it's an upgrade. But I think it was probably one of the best two options, along with Kenny Atkinson. Probably would have been my first choice.
You like Kenny Atkinson a lot, don't you? I like Kenny Atkinson too.
He's just like, I mean, I don't want to pretend to know more about him than I do, but everyone's like revered him as such a great development coach. He got Nets teams to the playoffs that really had no business getting the playoffs, which is part of the reason why KD and Kyrie and dudes wanted to come play there. Maybe not Kenny Atkinson, but they got Kenny Atkinson fired, but they had young guys that showed they could play because of Kenny Atkinson. I would take Kenny Atkinson as the Knicks coach over Thibodeau any day, but you get what you get.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I kind of like Tibbs, but I don't think he's going to help the Knicks at all. The Knicks are just a fucking clown organization.
He's another one of those situational coaches. Like, I don't know if you cut out during this, but I was saying, like, there's good jobs for Mike D'Antoni and there's bad jobs. Like, Bulls would be a bad job. Pacers would be a good job for D'Antoni.
No, I heard that, and I agree with you. I think there are certain jobs.
And that's what I think about Thibodeau, though. Like, he could take a team to the next level, but, like, the Knicks need you to just develop guys. They don't need a coach that's like, oh, let's instill some defense. It's like, no, we need to learn how to play basketball first.
True. I think it'll be interesting to see how some of the, like, what a team like the Thunder, some of these some of these teams that are, you know, now vacant that we don't really talk about as much, like the Pacers, like the Thunder, you know, like the couple other teams that have vacancies. I'm blanking on them.
Ty Lue and Sam Cassell are two of the big ones. So
yeah, definitely.
Now that the Clippers are out, they might get some calls.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting to see how some of those vacancies are filled in the NBA. I did want to touch on some of the stuff in the NBA, and I'm sorry, in the NFL. Did you watch the NFL, obviously, this weekend?
Yeah. Yep.
Obviously, a wrath of injuries across the NFL. I mean, the list that I wrote down is honestly frightening, and I'm going to have to just touch on it, because not only were there 7 torn ACLs this this weekend in the NFL, which is just outrageous. I honestly don't even think that's a thing. 7 players tore their ACL. Yeah, Jimmy G, high ankle sprain. Drew Lock, shoulder. He's out 3 to 6 weeks. CMC, high ankle sprain. Obviously, my boy Saquon, torn ACL. Moshert, he's got a high ankle sprain. Sutton, Cortland Sutton, torn ACL. Shepard, IR, turf toe. Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas, 2 defensive linemen for the 49ers, both tore their ACL in the same game. Anthony Barr, linebacker for the Vikings, he's done. Byron Jones, Malik Hooker, safety. I mean, dude, the list is incredible. I don't think I've ever seen this amount of injuries across the NFL in 1 week. And I guess you're going to have to attribute it to the lack of preseason. Obviously, none. There were 0 preseason games in the NFL. Lack of training camp and offseason activities, which were obviously limited due to the COVID-19. And I feel like it's something we could have expected, but not this bad. And just some of the stuff now where it's going to impact a lot of teams, man. Only being week 2 in the NFL, a lot of season left to go, with the NFL announcing heading into week 2 that they had 0 positive tests for upwards to 3,000 plus tests that they gave to all players, coaches, and personnel involved. I mean, they're looking like they're doing something right. And even though they're not a bubble and allowing fans, none of the players are testing positive, and as long as they can continue that on, the NFL football is going to continue. The wrath of injuries is obviously not good for many of these teams. I'd let you respond to that quick before we get into any of the action.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. I know a lot of people like question like the MetLife Field now and stuff like that because there were a bunch of injuries there. It sucks to see everyone's, especially like fantasy teams and stuff, real life teams. You lost your favorite player on your real team. If you're a Niners fan, that could easily derail your chances at a Super Bowl if it's been 2 of your best defensive player. Chewy lost his quarterback for a week. Duke's team just sucks. They didn't lose anyone. They just suck.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. Tough one for Chew, for sure. I mean, the Mets basically are done. The Broncos losing Drew Lock. Cortland Sutton torn ACL. We're going to see a lot more and seeing if Jerry Jeudy can be an NFL wide receiver right off the bat. You know, they bring in Blake Bortles on a 1-year deal, which I just think is a little bit questionable. But at the same time, I guess in Chewy's words, he's probably going to be better than Jeff Driscoll, I guess. But Blake Bortles has not been proven to be able to kind of be a franchise quarterback. I know it's not going to be that. It's going to be a filler until Drew Lock's able to come back. But obviously, with Drew Lock now missing 3 to 6 weeks, who knows how long it's going to be, and who knows where the Broncos are going to be at, already down 0-2. I mean, it's crazy to see 62% of teams that go 2-0 have gone on to make the playoffs. Obviously, now with an expanded playoff format, I think it's even enhanced. And you see now the 2-0 teams across the NFL, the 0-2 teams across the NFL. I'd ask you, which one is most surprising on both ends? Like, which one is most surprising to you in terms of 2-0, and which team is most surprising for you in terms of 0-2? If you got any of that, I can give you a couple of quick ones. I think as much as it's easy,
I'm looking at them right now.
I think as much as it's easy for me to want to include the Bills in that, and I'm definitely impressed with the Bills, and I'm surprised that they're at 2-0. But at the same time, I've kind of been banking on that all off season, and the Bills have looked pretty good. And even though the Patriots lose the game the other night, after winning in week 1, they could very easily be 2-0 as well. And you'd be looking at them battling out this division, something we kind of talked about. But I think for me, it'd have to be the Cardinals, because the hype around the Cardinals was real, obviously, with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, which I do actually want to put on the record for my podcast, I think is one of the worst trades I've ever seen in the NFL since I've been following the NFL, the DeAndre Hopkins trade from the Houston Texans. The Texans are 0-2, and for me, that'd be my most surprising 0-2 team. As much as I want to include the Minnesota Vikings in that conversation and the Denver Broncos in that conversation, I believe that
Leafs done for me.
I'm pretty stunned with the fact that team is 0-2, and I just don't know, even with my team like the Giants, I've been high on, but with everything going on with their team, it's sorry to see what's going on in the NFC East, so I don't think we're out of it, but at the same time, losing our franchise caliber player, by the way, he's our franchise for the entire season, is not going to help my bets with my fellow friends on the New York Giants. So
yeah, it's
been a fucking tough week for me, man. Really has.
I would say the most disappointing team, 0-2, most shocking would probably be for me the Vikings. Most people had them winning their division, and there's now two 2-0 teams, the Bears and the Packers there, and they're 0-2. I mean, their first game, who was it? Their first game was against the Packers, so most people had the Packers, or the Vikings is a better team now, even if it was a 50-50 split, lost that. Then they lose to the Colts right after they're missing Marlon Mack, a game you definitely want to win. Kirk Cousins couldn't do anything. They lost by 17 points. So I'd probably have the Vikings as my most disappointing team. The most impressive, I mean, hey, they're not 2-0, but technically the Washington football team is 1-1, tied for first in their division right now. But no, the most impressive 2-0 team for me, maybe the Bears. Always questions around Mitchell Trubisky. Granted, they beat the Lions and the Giants, so not two crazy games, but they're going against the Falcons this week, who can't stop anyone right now, so that could be a win right there. So Bears are off to a good start, so maybe the Bears.
I'm glad you brought up that team, because I do want to talk about that game next. There's a couple games I do want to touch on. I know the bell was going to go off in a minute, but I'm going to reset it. And I'm glad you brought up the Falcons, dude, because I'm so sick of now having to listen to, like, Skip Bayless, and I'm sure Michaels Mean, fucking Cowboys fans that are like, oh, dude, did you see that comeback? Did you see Dak Prescott? Did you see how good our team looked? I mind you, the Falcons are the first team ever since 1933 to lose a game where they scored 39 points and had zero turnovers. And this is not a knock on, obviously I'm a Cowboys hater, but to me, this is a fact in which the Falcons lost that game, the Cowboys didn't win. And you get a lucky win in a division now where you could have easily been 0-2 with the Eagles and Giants. Like you mentioned, Washington football team would be leading the division. And now you have a situation where all these Cowboys fans think they're back in action. I think it's the most more telling about the Atlanta Falcons. Just so disappointing. Like Dan Quinn, after blowing the 25-point loss in the Super Bowl, I don't think he's ever going to be able to recover his team from that. And we've seen it last season where they start off like 0-6 or 0-4, whatever the fuck they did, and then turn it on at the end of the season so he doesn't lose his job. But I think the way they start this season, I'd be stunned if he's not the first NFL coach fired this year. With how you go lose the first two games, with how you played those first two games, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I think that'd be another surprising 0-2 team for me, because I just don't know how that team can compete the way they do and then lose games the way they do. It's not anything telling for me about a Cowboys team that did obviously have a great comeback, but I don't think they should have won that game by any means.
Yeah, that game was terrible. I agree with you. They definitely lost the game. Cowboys didn't win. That was gross. The only thing I wouldn't be too concerned about, obviously you don't want to start off as 0-2 when you have a win-now team, but they did play the Seahawks and the Cowboys, two of the best offensives in the league, and the Falcons notoriously have the worst defense in the league. So I feel like they'll get some wins. So like coming up, I said they have the Bears, which will be tough, and the Packers, which will also be tough. But then after that, they go Panthers, Lions, Panthers, Broncos, definitely some easier games for them. So I think they could find their way back to 500. But yeah, I don't think they're a legitimate Super Bowl threat if you can't keep a team under 40 points. Like, yeah, Seahawks scored 38 on them. Cowboys scored 40 on them. See what Mitch Trubisky does. If they let him go crazy, that's a terrible sign.
Yes, and I'd say if you had to give me a quick top five of the NFL teams right now in order, what do you got?
Okay.
The Kansas City Chiefs. Probably. Kansas City Chiefs squeak out a victory barely, 23-20, up against Justin Herbert, which we talked about a little bit in an overtime game.
I do think that's what I was gonna say. Like, I do think they're the best team, but if I'm just going off these like two games this season, what I'm seeing, I'd probably go Ravens first. I can't put the Bills in the top five only because they beat two. Didn't they beat the Dolphins and the Jets? Like, the Bills have looked great, but I'm not putting the Bills in the top five off a Dolphins and a Jets win. So I'd put Ravens, Chiefs, Packers, Cardinals, Steelers?
Wow, no Seahawks? Oh my god.
Okay, no, no, no. See, that's why I said it off the top of my head. No, I definitely put the Seahawks in there. I missed the Seahawks. Definitely the Seahawks over the Cardinals and the Steelers.
Okay.
I missed the Seahawks.
A little more respectable with the take there. Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you. I think the Ravens have looked like the best team, but it's hard for me to put them number one. For me, I have the Seahawks number one, man. Russell Wilson and what he's doing.
I forgot about them.
What Russell Wilson is doing, like, he literally has 9 touchdowns and 10 incompletions. Like, that's what he's doing right now. I mind you, a guy that's gotten 0 MVP votes, I wouldn't be stunned if he's not leading the MVP discussion come right now and another few weeks down the road if he's able to continue doing what he's doing. I think he's been the best team. Kyler Murray has definitely been impressive, but I wouldn't have the Cardinals in my top five just yet. I'd have the Seahawks as number one for me. Then I'd probably have the Ravens slightly above the Chiefs, so it'd go 2 Ravens, Chiefs 3. Then for me, it gets slightly interesting where I don't know if I then have the Packers, which are just tough for me to throw up there, but I also could easily throw in the Buffalo Bills. But like you mentioned on the schedule, I think for me, fifth would be the Rams. Bro, I think fifth for me would be the Rams.
How did the Steelers?
The Steelers, yeah, I think the Steelers have been impressive, and I think they have probably at least a top five defense, if not number one overall defense in the NFL come the end of this season. I think they're going to have one of the best defenses. And what Big Ben's doing off of missing the entire season at his age, I think is pretty good with what we've seen out of Drew Brees, him aging the other night, and they lost the game up against the Vegas Raiders. Pick that on the pod, bro.
So after remembering that the Seahawks exist, I would go your exact top three, probably Seahawks, Ravens, Chiefs, and then I would go Packers, Steelers.
Word. I would probably have to go Packers, Rams. As much as I want to throw Bills in there, as much
Raiders,
as I think that
the Raiders have looked good too.
Yes, and I wanted to, yeah, and I wanted to say that as well, but I don't want to consider the Raiders a top five NFL team yet. But they have been surprisingly good, and I think the Raiders are a team that has slept on, a team that I've been kind of talking about going back to before the season even started. A couple other teams that I did talk about on that end were the Lions and the Colts. The Colts did pick up a impressive win up against the Vikings team that we talked about is surprisingly at 0-2. And the Lions are 0-2, which I think then Matt Patricia is next on the chopping block in terms of right behind Dan Quinn and guys about to lose their job this offseason, including Vic Fangio as well, Denver Broncos head coach. Shout out to my boy Chu.
We also skipped over this, but I wanted to at least bring them up. Their two losses are fair, but the Texans just got screwed to start the season. They played the Chiefs, then the Ravens. Then this week they play the Steelers, and the following week they play the Vikings, which is just – and then, hold on, then they play the Jaguars, which is one maybe easier game, and then they play the Titans and the Packers.
Don't sleep on Gardner Minshew and the Jags, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They've played well, and that's their easiest game. They Titans, Packers, Steelers, Vikings. Like, oh, man, after getting Ravens and Chiefs, they just kind of got screwed. I don't even think they're that bad of a team, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're sitting, like, 1-7 in a few weeks.
No, I completely agree. And just looking ahead a little bit to the Week 3 schedule, big game on Thursday night for the Jaguars going up against the Dolphins, and my pick with Austin Boulé, so I'm going to have to hope they lose the game. I'm taking the Jags. I think the Gardner Minshew has improved, and I think until Tua gets in the game, I'm not going to have the Dolphins winning too many games. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a serviceable NFL quarterback, but I just don't have him being better than Tua. I just don't understand why Tua is not playing. Big games, dude, across the NFL, realistically, like Chicago at Atlanta, like you talked about, 2-0 against 0-2. I mean, that's a big-time game for both of those teams in general with – couple other games, and then obviously the Monday night Kansas City at Baltimore, dude. So big time week 3 slate, couple big time games that are going to be, and with the Rath injuries across the NFL in week 2, you're going to have a couple different looking teams with a couple of signings this week by teams that lost some perennial all-star elite players on both sides of the ball. So looks like we're going to start seeing guys like Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, and some of these other guys coming off the block. I think it's that type of season, dude. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, Devontae Freeman already getting signed. I wanted to pick him up in fantasy a week ago because I figured he was going to get signed, and I didn't do it, which I did now.
Yep, I think he's going to be pretty decent for a Giants team that relies heavily on something out of the backfield, and if he plays as much as we're going to need him to, and if the offensive line can do anything, then he'll definitely get some volume. I think some of those signings are definitely going to be necessary for some teams that are in need of players because of injuries and anything else that could happen with everything going on. So it has been good to see the NFL, though, having a good first 2 weeks, obviously, of zero positive test and what I imagine to be good football with everything going on. I mean, what do you expect? No preseason. I think the games have been pretty solid. I guess the only other couple of things that I had were I did want to have an MLB update. I don't know if you have been following it because I haven't. I wish Chu was here to give me an update, but I don't even know if he's my friend anymore, to be honest. But anyways, I mean, what's today? The 23rd? So 6 days away, the MLB postseason starts. And realistically, it's been Padres close to postseason berth since the first time since 2006. Four straight postseason clinching berth for the New York Yankees. Twins clinched the postseason. Third straight year, the Athletics clinched the postseason. First time in 12 seasons, the White Sox clinch. Tampa Bay clinch. Cubs clinch. Clinching season in the MLB with obviously only 6 days left in the regular season, only a 60-game schedule. MLB coming to a close a lot quicker than we could have imagined. It's going pretty quick. What's good, Lisa? And realistically, you think anyone's going to beat the Padres, dude? Because I think it's Tatis Jr. for the World Series, no doubt about it. Like, what's good, Chu? You believe with that or not? Even though I will say, I've seen a bracket, and if they win their first-round series, the Padres, they will have to beat the Dodgers in order to get
that's,
to.
That's what I was just looking at.
Yeah, so I'm kind of a little skeptical of that with obviously how good the Dodgers have been and the addition of Mookie Betts, but, yo, anything can happen, yo. I'm riding Tatis Jr. all the way to the ship.
Yeah, I was going to look it up right now because I was talking to Chu the other day and I remember him telling me that I think they're in like the wild card spot or something right now. So, yeah, they'd end up going against the Dodgers, I think.
Second round.
Okay. Trying to see. Ew.
And then the Yankees, bro, have been hot. They had like 10, 11 straight wins or whatever it was. You got the Yankees coming out of that division, even though they're not even, I don't think, winning the division itself. I think the Rays did. So they're getting Yankees a wild card?
Yankees have been pretty shitty before that, I think. And then they played the Red Sox four games in a row and, like, fucked them up three times because the Red Sox are just awful right now. But, nah, fuck the Yankees. I don't have the Yankees coming out. I got the Yankees losing the first round against whoever they play. That's my totally uninformed
Let's go. Let's go. Love to hear it.
Too many sports on at once for me to pay attention to baseball right now. Pay attention a little bit when it's the only one on. But that's
I agree. Okay, so then I guess you haven't been watching any of the Stanley Cup final then. You're going to have a game three tonight. Series tied 1-1. Dallas Stars, Tampa Bay Lightning, 8 p.m., NBCSN. What's good, bro? You watching the Stanley Cup final? You got the Dallas Stars or Tampa Bay Lightning?
I would have been watching baseball before I was watching hockey, to be honest. However, I will say I've been to a few hockey games. They're great to go to, but I will never be watching hockey on TV. Can't get into it.
So you're not even going to make a bold prediction and be like, yeah, I think the Dallas Stars are going to win the Stanley Cup? Because that's what I think. I don't know. Whatever.
That's not what I think, but I don't know the other teams that are even in the picture right now.
What do you mean? It's the final, dude. There's only two teams.
The Stanley Cup? I didn't hear you. Okay. Nah, but who's the other team? My bad.
The Tampa Bay Lightning up against the Dallas Stars.
Years ago or no?
What?
Haven't they won recently?
I have no idea. No, I think it's been Bruins and Penguins.
I'll go the Lightning.
In Vegas, you're going Lightning. All right. Series tied 1-1. Game 3 tonight, 8 p.m., NBCSN. Let's do it.
I'll be tuning into the Celtics game, but sounds good.
Same. I'll be tuning in to yeah, all right, word. Anyways, anything else you had to get in? I don't know if you saw this, which was just like a good way to just top off how my day's going. I saw that Gale Sayers, age of 77, passed away today, who I guess is arguably the best running back of all time.
I did not know that.
I'd have to do a little research on him, but obviously tragic. with just everything going on in terms of people passing away due to COVID, due to, unfortunately for him, dementia. I mean, it just seems like the list is never ending right now during this year, and it's just tough. So obviously a tough loss for the NFL community, and I'd have to look up a little bit of his info, but I guess he was the youngest player ever enshrined into the NFL Hall of Fame, so I guess he's got to be somewhat of a good player. Shout out Gale Sayers, rest in peace to him, and prayers to his family. Yeah, I basically feel like with how everything's going with the country, you obviously have to get out and vote. I don't know if you saw the Odell Beckham Jr. Post, which I thought was very interesting, because obviously he's in the limelight. He's a NFL wide receiver, and he came out and he said, honestly, I've never voted. He said he feels like he's been the type of person that's been like, well, I'm not going to be able to change the world. And now, obviously, with everything going on, he says his main message is to get out and vote. Obviously, that's contradicting. He's going to hopefully get out and vote. And I think the more people that do, the better. Obviously, people getting any say in using their right to vote is important. And I think the more people registered and out voting during this time is more important. And it's not a political thing in sports. I covered this before you left last week, and I was kind of bummed that I didn't ask you this, because you kind of are the guy that's, for me, a little bit more in tune with some of that stuff. I'm not. I don't know much about it, but I don't know if you saw, like, Naomi Osaka and her comments, how she goes and wins the U.S. Open, and pretty much threw fuel on the fire because she was getting told, oh, don't bring politics into sports, when she's out there trying to do a movement for whatever she's trying to do. And I think it's a little bit outrageous, honestly, for anybody to be questioning any athlete that's out here trying to use their platform in that way. I mean, it's not politics and sports, man. It's them trying and having opinion and trying to express it to others, in which they can take it however they want. It's annoying to hear. I don't know if you saw this as well. There was a report how, I saw Will Cain put it out too, of course, all people, how politics is affecting sports and the ratings in sports, particularly in women, and how they're not interested in sports because there's so much politics in sports. And I just don't get how that right there is even a statement that can be made during the time that we're living in. I mean, anybody just like me can come on and have a podcast, have an opinion, and talk about it in sports as well, and everyone's going to just twist it into another way. I just don't understand it, man, because it seems a little bit unfair when the athletes, in my opinion, are using their platform in the right way.
I mean, it's not even, most of what they're doing isn't even really politics. It's just like basic human rights that the president has twisted into politics. And it's not even like he doesn't want politics in sport. Did you see him call? I don't watch it. I saw a video of it, but 3 days ago, there was a fight, and Colby Covington is some dude, I guess, who wears all MAGA stuff and fighting and stuff. Dana White promotes him. He wears all like Make America Great Again stuff. And like President Trump called him in the middle of his post-game interview, and he was on the phone with Trump for like 2 minutes in a post-game interview live. And it's like, okay, you want to keep politics out of sports? It's just saying they want politics out of sports that they don't agree with. And in all honesty, it's not even really politics. It's just basic human fundamentals that they're bringing up. So it's ridiculous. It's just people twisting messages. Athletes should continue to do whatever they want with that.
And do you think that that's an actual thing? Like, I mean, I guess the ratings are probably down for many reasons, but do you think that's one of the reasons? I'm just not buying that.
Like a small amount, but no, I don't think that's the main reason. I actually watched like this dude whose YouTube videos I watch all the time used to, I could send it to you, but he used to be like working on an NBA team, and he just does all these like YouTube videos about NBA teams and talking about stuff. And he was saying how he did like a full dive into why the ratings are down. He was like, yeah, like a small amount is because of that, but that's not the issue. He went to every year after there's a collapse of like an iconic figure or iconic super teams, the ratings have plummeted. So when Michael Jordan retired, the ratings plummeted. When the big three in Miami separated, the ratings plummeted after that year. And this is the first year without the Golden State Warriors, which had by far the best TV ratings. And when you think about it, fans like us aren't who they're losing ratings on. People who like love the NBA and love watching the NBA are still watching the NBA. The problem is all the casual fans where you're going out to bars, you're talking to people like, oh, Kevin Durant, oh, Steph Curry, like, oh, super teams. Like he was saying, I pointed out like that's been historically a huge reason ratings drop because casual fans don't watch as much when there's actual parity in the league, which is what we all want. But casual fans kind of like a like, oh my God, that's like, look at that team right there. Look at all those superstars. Look how good they are. Like the LeBron James, Miami Heat. And like the Lakers are kind of that, but the Warriors have really been that over the last few years. And just with less going on, like going out to bars, talking to people at work about sports, stuff like that. Streaming services is a big part of it. So many people stream games illegally. When the game's on TNT and I'm watching it on my computer, the TNT site is so bad that I watch the game illegally because it goes faster than the actual TNT site. Usually I watch them on my computer, but like that's honestly what people are doing. There's so many readily available illegal streams that like you don't need to buy cable all the time, which is going to hurt ratings. People steal each other's cable. I use some of my parents' cable password for my Apple TV here. Like it's just technology and where it is, I'd say, for the most part, and partly no super team, like huge focus from like casual fans right now. And then a third, maybe a small percentage just because of politics and everything going on. But that's not the main reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I never really thought about that whole aspect of that, you know, the streaming aspect. But I think that's a good point as well. As much as I don't do any of that, I know there's a lot of people that do. And that right there is going to affect ratings, obviously.
NFL game, unless it's on, like, I don't get NFL Network. And they make it so difficult to buy Red Zone. I would literally buy Red Zone right now if I could go to like redzone.com and just buy Red Zone and watch it there. But you have to like include it through your cable company and then you have to like get a sports package. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'll just watch an illegal free stream every time. Sorry. Make it I think that's part of the problem. Like the NBA, last thing I'll say, the NBA, you either still use it or used to use it, like League Pass.
Yeah.
Is maybe the worst designed thing in the entire world. I would buy League Pass. I don't have any problem spending money. I watch enough NBA games. The problem is I buy it and they block out Knicks games, which are the main team I want to watch. Then they block out Celtics games anytime they're playing them. And also every time I was using it, it like glitches out and stuff. It's just not a good platform. Like illegal streams are literally more convenient for me than the actual NBA paid product. And it's not that I'm being like cheap and won't buy
it. PSA, baby.
Yeah, I have no problem buying $100 for the season, whatever the league pass is. I've done it before, but I just found that the streams are literally easier and cheaper, so why would I not do that?
Yeah, you're getting the last laugh because I'm the one buying fucking league pass and Red Zone and whatever because I don't know how to do it.
Maybe I'm wrong on Red Zone. Maybe there is an easier way to do it, but every time I've tried to sign up, they tell me I have to like call my cable company. I'm like, I'm not adding to my cable. No, I don't know.
Did you get a victory in fantasy this week?
No, dude. I needed Emmanuel Sanders to put up 9 points, and he had zero catches until, like, the last 2 minutes he got two catches, so no.
You lost to who?
Trev.
Damn.
I had Derrick Henry put up 8 points in a game where Vegas had him projected to rush for 120 yards. He had, like, no touchdowns and 70 yards. I just, like... I should have.
Oh, Seg should have drafted Derrick Henry.
I did not say that. I said I was glad I got Derrick Henry, and I was surprised you didn't draft him. I never said Edwards-Helaire was a bad pick because I thought it was a good pick.
I
was just happy I got Derrick Henry.
Two tight ends off the wire this week, too. Interesting strategy.
Did you see my chats in our group this morning? I was so pissed. I just forgot what day the waiver claims came through, and on Sunday I knew I needed a tight end. So I put like a bigger bid in for Dallas's tight end, who I'm glad I got. He's going to have a big role in their offense. And I put a small bid in on a Bengals tight end. And I was like, all right, I'll like put some other bid in, then decide who I want, and just never went back and looked again. So never claimed any running back. And now I have three tight ends on my roster. I'm going to have to make a trade. I'm going to make a trade. But I fucked that up pretty bad.
Yeah, there's no way I can trade any tight end work, and I don't want any of those, so I can't help you there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, if you don't have anything else, I guess I'll let you go. I know you got the rest of the work day and everything going on. Hopefully we'll link up on the sticks. I was working on my guy. I got a couple shooting badges, hopefully by tonight when I see you. So that's almost the shit that gets me more pissed off though, honestly, bro, because I'll be playing the game and I can make it in the career game. So
I know you need badges
to like make it in the park, but it's like, bro, if I can shoot, I can shoot. Like, I should be able to make a fucking shot. Like, going four games and not being able to make a shot is like, that's outrageous. Like, there's no way my timing is that bad.
The timing's faster or like harder online. They say,
yeah, but equate. Dude, you get what I'm saying, right? It's like, no, bro, come on.
But they say to equate to online play, set your career games to superstar, and it's more of the same thing. So like, superstar's the second highest, Hall of Fame's the highest, superstar's the second highest, and that's more like what it's like shooting in the park. But no, I'm with you. You remember the first night we all played, none of us could make a shot. Then I got shooting badges. Now my guy can kind of make a shot.
True. I also would say it's tough with a rando, and Chewy not playing any NBA has been pretty tough for me. But hopefully he's cashing in MLB. All right, well.
I was going to get on last night and didn't.
Yeah, I was on only for a little while. Then I was watching the game, but I'll be on at some point for sure today, just chilling, watching the game tonight. So I'm sure I'll catch up with you.
Word. Sounds good, man.
All right. Much love, dude. Peace.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Yep, that's my dude, Rich. And before I get out of here, I guess I got to do what I got to do with the G-Men and just give a quick comment on my team. We lose Saquon. It's devastating. Daniel Jones is not our franchise player. It's Saquon Barkley. And he's out for the year. Daniel Jones, as much as he's not looked too great over the first two games, I don't think he's going to progress as much as I would have liked. And for that, it's going to be, well, we didn't have Saquon Barkley. And when our team has a horrible fucking record, even though our defense looks pretty good and we probably should have won the first two games, maybe at least one of them, in my opinion, you go and lose and you're 0-2. Everyone's saying how we're trash, we suck. And in my opinion, it's because of Daniel Jones' first half mistakes, because of obviously the loss of Saquon Barkley, and with everything else going on, Dave Gettleman 9-25 as the GM of this football team. And I heard Max Hellman saying it yesterday. I couldn't agree with him more. I think the loss of Saquon Barkley is going to affect our team more than just this year. Because which is going to happen most likely, but God forbid, the Giants have a horrendous football season and a horrendous record and are vying for a top pick. Gettleman has proven he's not able to really develop a top pick. I'd argue Saquon Barkley's best season was his rookie season before the Giants even got his hands on him. And now you're going to have Daniel Jones, a guy that you're not going to be able to look at as much because your franchise caliber guy isn't there, and that's an excuse for his bad play. Offensive line not looking great, excuse for his bad play. Nah, dude, I'm sick of the fucking excuses. Like, I'm sick of hearing some Giants fans going, oh, look, see, Daniel Jones had us right there at the end of the game to win the game. Well, he didn't, and if he played a little better in the first half, we would have fucking won the game. And if he doesn't have a crucial turnover in the red zone, his first ever as a quarterback in the NFL against the Steelers in the week one, Monday Night Football, we, I think, could have had a different result. At least in the second half, it would have played out a little differently, in my opinion, if the Giants go and score on that 19-play drive. But no, they don't. And then you lose Saquon Barkley. And I think, in general, this is not going to bode well for us Giants fans that have been probably the worst team in the NFL for the past three seasons. It could be another three because Gettleman hasn't proven to be able to develop anybody and get the team off the ground at anywhere. And here we go, sitting waiting to see how these games play out. Even though we signed Devontae Freeman, who I think is a caliber running back in the NFL, that even though he's coming off the shelf, I think he should have had a job, so I'm excited to see what he can do. I think it clearly relies on dimes, and if he's able to now step up, not make these mistakes that he's making, and hopefully the team can turn it around. I mean, the division is so freaking trash, and the Eagles don't look good at all. The Washington football team 1-1, and the Dallas Cowboys at 1-1, which I believe they got the luckiest win in the NFL this past week, no doubt about it, if not all time. When you talk about the Atlanta Falcons and their debacle, first time since 1933, they lose a game in which they scored 39 points and had zero turnovers. I mean, only the Dallas Cowboys would turn the ball over three times in the first quarter, fail on two punt conversions in which they're trying to go for it on fourth down, and win the game on a botched onside kick in which the Atlanta Falcons act like they didn't even know the rules. That is mind-numbing. And if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan acting like that's a good win, you're psychotic, because that's a horrible way to win a football game. Even though the comeback is there, you shouldn't have won the game. So I don't want to be hearing on how good your team looked this past week. You didn't look great at all. And you all were bitching about Jason Garrett and how he's the problem. Mike McCarthy making a lot of game management mistakes and big-time decisions in which you're going for a fake punt in your own territory two times in the first half of a football game, in which you win by 1 point coming back from 15 points down in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes to go. Not great, man. Not great. Lucky win. Lucky win. And I'm just hoping Dimes can show up against a Cowboys team, which obviously the Giants have been horrible against the Cowboys and Eagles, 0-12 in their past 12 games against those teams. Be interesting to see if we can even compete, because obviously now without Saquon Barkley, it's tough having any hopes in doing that. It's been tough, man. It's been tough. Tough news all around for me, not only with my football team, some of my picks in terms of this past week, in terms of Lakers lose a game. Hopefully Lakers still hold up in 5, Heat in 6. That's going to be up in the air based on how this game goes tonight. 8:30 p.m. ESPN, Heat Celtics game 4. Got the NHL game 3, series tied 1-1. Got MLB 5-6 days away from the MLB playoffs and a lot of clinching teams across the league with only a few games left. Sure, you better enjoy those Mets while you can, my friend. It doesn't look like they're making it. And yeah, a lot going on in sports, and just a tough day for me all around. Just been trying to now figure out a way to get past losing one of my best friends. My neighbor, all the stuff he's done for me, for my podcast. I mean, I got a monitor and a setup here that I wouldn't have without him. I know and now do a lot of things that I wouldn't have done or known without him. And not only that, he's taken care of me, fed me, taken care of my dog, fed my dog. I just feel so bad for the rest of his family. I'm going to miss him more than anything. And I'm glad I got to say goodbye to him today, even though it was extremely hard to do. But everything going on in the world of sports, I guess that's the only thing I can turn to right now, is just trying to watch and enjoy everything going on in the world of sports, with obviously a lot going on. And even though a lot of the news in the sports world for some of us has been pretty tough, I still enjoy watching as much sports as I can, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. Hopefully I'll be back on Saturday. Hopefully I can link up with a couple of the boys, as I haven't been really to link up with anyone else besides Rich. But much love to my dude Rich Hot Takes Letty coming on, joining the sports conversation. You can always follow the pod at my Instagram page at Seggy Station, or listen and watch the pod on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Appreciate all love and support there thus far. See how it goes now with the remaining announcement of the week 3, ahead of week 3 in the NFL in terms of positive tests, as we've seen the Notre Dame Wake Forest game this week get postponed because of Notre Dame having 7 players test positive. A lot of college football cranking up, a lot of college universities dealing with the spread of this virus that is still going on in this country. Just in the limelight, I'm happy that with how scared I was, my neighbor didn't get the virus. That's a positive for not only him, but me. And I just hope now everyone else that I know and loved ones there, as my grandma's not doing well and they got a COVID patient technically or potentially in her unit. I mean, it's just never ending, man. Never ending. And I don't know what I would do without a guy like Rich. Obviously, my boy Chu, Dukes, Raj, all the guys that would come on, talk sports, join me to get away from all that. It means everything to me, as a sports conversation has been pretty fire with everything going on in sports. And I just hope y'all enjoy it. I hope y'all enjoy it, because you won't be able to take any of that stuff when you're gone. That's all I have for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, I still have no shame what I had to say. It's the man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. You're listening to Seggy Station.